You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Whole gang is here. News of the day on the Av side. Number one, JT Compher back in a normal jersey, so it looks totally fine on that front. Darren Helm still in pumpkin, so...
Or it's red. It's red.
Jesse, look, I'm calling it a pumpkin, but I agree. It's a red jersey. It's not orange.
All right. As long as we're clear. Jared Bednar did say last night that JT Compher had gone and gotten some evaluations, second opinions. They are fully expecting him to be good to go by opening night, and he said they are expecting him to be a full participant in practice on Saturday. Today's an official day off for the Avs, but Bednar did tell us last night he was expecting Compher to get on the ice one of these couple days. Darren Helm has been with the group, but they are standing pretty firm on he will not be ready by opening night. But either way, to your point, Rito, good to see JT back out there. Seemingly looks like he's ready to go.
Yep, clearly nothing serious. So there will be at least one change in the Avs opening night lineup once we get there. The other news, the Avs and Altitude really announced a partnership with Fubo TV to bring their television services to the entire Rocky Mountain region, I suppose. $70 a month
base for plan.
Altitude and the rest of everything Fubo going on. I don't have a ton of thoughts on it, to be honest.
I'll share some thoughts. Look, we were just talking about this a little bit before. We don't have to get fully into it. We have no problem watching the games. We're very fortunate. We get to be in the building for a lot of them. So I understand that maybe a lot of people don't fully care our opinion on this because we're in a bit of a unique situation. But look, like from my standpoint, the biggest complaint that I've seen from Avs fans, Nuggets fans over the last few years has been, I want to go home, turn on my TV, watch the game. It's pretty well documented now. You can stream it. People know how to find it, all that good stuff. And to me, I think that's got to be at least a little bit of a disappointing part of this announcement today. We started seeing some of this buzz last night. Look, this is still kind of a bit of a roundabout solution. Yes, is this technically another option that's available on? Sure. But this is a pretty niche app. Streaming app, not a lot of people use it. It's a little pricey. It just, to me, this doesn't solve the root problem that a lot of people have with it. It's good that they're trying to find other solutions, I suppose, but at the end of the day, they know what solution it is that everyone wants, and continuing to kind of tap dance around all of this, again, I just don't really think you're solving the solution. And even after today's big announcement, Ivaca remains the best place to get Altitude because it's, what, a third the cost of what Fubo is?
Even after the first 3 months where it's $15 a month, it's only $25 after that compared to Fubo's $70. So.
Right. And good for Altitude, I guess. They got it somewhere else. But to me, this still doesn't really solve the root problem. And that's the disappointing part.
Is it good that they're trying? Absolutely. Right. But the people that aren't watching the Avs are like my parents, where if they can't turn on the TV and find the channel the game is on, they're just not going to put it on.
Yep.
And this is a little closer, I guess, if you have a smart TV and you know how to download the app. It's a little bit easier, maybe, but it's still not the equivalent to cable, where you're going to get the casual fans tuning in with this.
Yep. I mean, look, this.
All I care about is the fact that we were told like 4 years ago that the deal that
not viable. Yeah.
Yeah. That the deal that was sitting on the table from Comcast would bankrupt Altitude. And so Altitude has just gone without for 4 years.
Right.
And somehow isn't bankrupt, and we just keep having to deal with all this. And it's just like, I don't care. You both suck.
Yeah.
Honestly, trying to pick a side here, I don't know why we feel the need to pick a side. Both of these sides are led by billion-dollar companies, people who have plenty of money to spend, and they're fighting over whatever they're fighting over, whatever the margin is. And everybody, the people that are losing out is us. And that's how it's always been. There's no bad guy in this. Like, there's no single bad guy. They're both garbage. They're both lying to you. They're both garbage. And we're getting screwed.
It's tough to see them unveil Hockey Capital of USA today. And a lot of people are pointing out that it's been difficult to be named Hockey Capital and not be able to follow along this team as closely as it deserved.
Yeah. It's like I said, that's just the disappointing part, is it's still really hard to find it. If you're doing it through the means that, you know, they suggest, it can be expensive. And again, the part that Comcast is part of the reason why that, you know, gigantic company is fine just waiting this out. One, Denver is by far not their biggest market. And two, they know that for you to get Fubo, you need one of the two internet providers that are available in Denver. And the vast majority of people have Comcast or Xfinity and not CenturyLink. So they're like, well, you need our service anyways. To stream Fubo, you need our service. And again, that's another frustration that you've heard from people. I have my internet bundled in with them. I don't want to switch.
Another problem here, and this is moving away from specifically Altitude and Comcast. The NHL and honestly all major sports are moving into this extremely expensive era where streaming is starting to take over, but it's not there yet. So right now, if you want to watch all of these sports, you need access to TV, you need access to multiple streaming services, and you need access to things like internet otherwise. So you're stuck in the middle right now where it's on TV sometimes, it's on streaming sometimes, and if you don't have both, you miss a significant portion of what you want to watch. It just sucks how much the fans are losing right now.
So to that exact point, Rudo, I'm not ultra familiar with Fubo, but I saw someone point it out on Twitter. We are getting to the point where all of this stuff is getting so divided out across different streaming platforms that to just have kind of like a basic catalog of the stuff that you like to watch, you need two or three different streaming services. And then the complaint is, oh, well, I have all this other stuff that I don't watch, and I just want to be able to watch, you know, whatever, Yellowstone. So I have to have this whole, you know, I have to have Paramount Plus, but I also watch this. And it's like, wow, this sounds an awful lot like cable. It's just, it's crazy that we've moved away from cable and now people are just reinventing cable with nine different streaming services. And this is another example because someone pointed out Fubo does not currently offer TNT, which for those of you that remember, once the Avs got out of the first round, I think they had one ESPN game and all of the rest were TNT.
Last night's game was TNT.
Opening night.
And so it's just so hard. And to AJ's point earlier, it's disappointing because the only people that truly lose out, and this is the mantra for several years, but it's the fans. The fans are the only ones that are truly getting screwed, truly missing out, and are the only ones that, if you are trying to go in some of these roundabout ways, they're the only ones that are feeling it in their pocketbook.
Megan, you're going to say something there?
Yeah.
I discovered Fubo because I did a free trial to watch World Juniors, which just is a testament to how niche it is that it is a little inaccessible to more casual fans. you know, like I'm someone who wants to watch World Juniors in the middle mm-hmm. of August, so I find Fubo, but we're talking about parents wanting to just be able to turn on a TV channel and watch hockey. It makes it a little less accessible, which is tough just for the growth of the game.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of it. I think that's what there is to say.
This was compared to the way that they had hyped it up last night. We thought that they was going to be their own streaming service. Mm-hmm. And we were very curious. I was super curious what that rollout was going to look like, because they do have some things that I would like to watch on Altitude.
Yep.
That I would be happy to pay for locally. Like, I would be happy to pay for Altitude to watch Nuggets games reliably.
If the prices weren't exorbitant, I would absolutely want to support Altitude.
Yeah. Like, but again,
I want to support them, not the 50 other channels that Fubo has that I don't care about.
Yeah, there's a 0% chance I'm getting Fubo TV, dude. It's just not going to happen. But I like, cool for them. But it feels for me anyway, just a different half measure that doesn't really address the real problem here. But they're in a tough spot. And what sucks is like the Kyle Keefes and Vic Lombardis and Mark Mosiers of the world, like, it's not them.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're not the ones making the decisions. Now they're the ones fighting with people on Twitter about it. But
I mean, that job sucks. You're the front-facing representative there. Like,
it's like there are things, sometimes there are going to be things that happen at DNVR where we're like, oh, that maybe isn't going to be great. It's not going to be us, you know, per se, that's going to be, but we're going to be standing there in front.
Yep.
Taking some of that heat. So it's a tough spot for everybody to be in. And it really just sucks because, again, the people who really lose out are everybody except the really rich guys in the room.
Yep.
Because people are being denied access to something that they absolutely very obviously and very clearly want access to.
Yeah.
Before we move on. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to add another piece of Avalanche news. I tweeted earlier about Jason Medna. Yep. Being put on waivers.
Yep. No big surprise on that one. Yeah.
Seems kind of weird. Like, they've got two off days.
Well, and Bednar actively saying, like, you don't see anything happen till Sunday.
Yeah. And then, like, Jason Magna's alone on waivers today.
And it wasn't announced through FSPR. Like, I saw in a separate reporter's tweet about all the NHL players that had hit the wire today, and I tweeted out, and then everyone else tweeted it out. Like, no one was really informed that this happened. Quietly waivers.
Well, and then to the point that whoever was just made, that he said last night, like, Megan, it was your question, I think, where he said, yeah, don't expect anything till Sunday. And he kind of alluded, like, it seems like every day we get a different look at these guys and it kind of changes our opinion and whatever. And he's like, yeah, we just need more looks. Well, except Jason Magna, he can go. Like, we know what he is. Cool.
I feel like that's a Magna was like, I'm tired of living in this hotel in Denver. I'm going back to my house.
See my family.
Yeah.
Go back to my condo. Get out of here.
Maybe that's what it was. Who knows? It definitely a little weird that the way it came out, because usually the Avs are pretty good about sending out the list of guys where it's like, all right, we cut these dudes. But yep. Magna slipping through the cracks. Anyway, maybe we should stop talking about TV and you should get outside and go enjoy some golf while the weather is still good enough. Pins and Aces, our official golf apparel merchandiser. You can go over to them and get everything you need for the golf course, whether it be hats, clothes, spikes, you name it. They got you covered, including specifically They're beer koozies for your bag. I guess it's beer sleeves. It's not beer koozies. But koozies like the single one, right? That just holds your one beer. This is a sleeve that holds 7 beers in your golf bag. So you can carry them in with you on the golf course and be good to go. So very effective at bringing some alcohol onto the course. You can check them out at pinsandaces.com and use code DNVR to get 15% off your first order plus free shipping. Again, pinsandaces.com. Get all of your golf merch. also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. You can bet on golf if you want. I don't know how to bet on golf, though. It's so hard to bet on that sport. Like, I even think betting on hockey is easier than betting on golf. But go over there. Put your money down. When you sign up for a new account with code DNVR, you bet $5 on any NFL team to win their next game. When they do, you get $200 in free bets, which you then can turn around and bet on the Avs or the Nuggets or specific players if you're feeling hot about somebody. Not Jason Megna. You can bet on the AHL to a certain extent. I don't think you can bet on individual players, but you can bet on the AHL. So that's an option too. Go over there, get the DraftKings app today. It must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's get into the actual topic of today, and that starts with Jason Robertson signing his...
Can we real fast, just because I just want, this is just more kind of news. Do you guys have any thoughts on now looking at the list of all the sponsors that have pulled out from Hockey Canada for this year and long term? Do we have any good thoughts or feels there? Or
are
we
everyone pulls out and they burn that organization to the ground.
Yeah. Honestly, those people have been so fucking delusional and disingenuous at every single turn that they should not continue to get to run Hockey Canada. And if Hockey Canada as an organization survives, it needs completely 100% new blood in there.
So you're not far off so far from your wish, Rudo. As of right now, it's the Keg, Swiss Chalet, Scotiabank, Canadian Tire, Bauer, Esso, Telus, and Tim Hortons.
So no big companies in that at all. Just a bunch of small-time Canadian companies. Oh. No big money there.
I'm assuming you're being sarcastic?
Yeah.
Okay.
When you lose Tim Hortons, you lost Canada.
Yeah, I mean, Scotiabank, Canadian Tire, you could stop right there and it's a huge deal. Then you add in Bauer, Telus, Tim Hortons.
It's even bigger than that, right? Hockey Quebec said, we're not paying you guys fees anymore. So, good.
I thought that was really interesting how it this all has kind of come about here in the last 48 hours with Tim Hortons being the first. And, like, this is – I remember when people were talking last year about how the – or 2 years ago, whatever it was, the MLB pulled out the All-Star game from Atlanta – and I had a couple people that were like, oh, well, can you believe they're just doing that for the money? And it's like, yeah, when you have major sponsorship dollars behind you pulling out like that, yes, I can 100% believe that. Like if Brandon came to us all tomorrow, I was like, hey, I don't like the way you guys are doing this. I'm going to stop paying you. We wouldn't just be like, well, we'll keep doing it anyways. We'd be like, yo, well, I guess we can't keep doing it like that. Like, we have to, you know, we have to change whatever he wants us to change. Otherwise, we're not going to keep getting funding. And like, this is one of those instances where you see companies doing the right thing and holding a larger corporation accountable. And I just thought it was great, 'cause I felt like we had the Hockey Canada pod a few weeks ago. And honestly, I feel like that was the most I had heard about it in a couple months. And I was hoping that this wouldn't just get, you know, swept under the rug and people kind of forget about it. And just seeing this news here in the last couple days, I think it's good. I think it's a great step so far.
I mean, it's been months now, and you were hoping for at least the, like, bare minimum response from Hockey Canada of, like, condemning this, and you couldn't even get that. It's ridiculous.
Here's another one that was just added. Sport Check also is ending their affiliation with Hockey Canada, not just temporarily suspending it. So another huge name. Sorry, AJ, go ahead.
Oh, good. We're good.
Burn it down.
Yep. IBDO, I don't know what that is, but they're another one too. And wow, and according to this thread, EA Sports is considering it, which would be huge. Yeah, I mean, this is a big deal. And you hope that this is there's got to be someone somewhere along the way within Hockey Canada that's got some money at stake here that is looking at this saying, okay, we tried to brush this under, but we got to do something here. Because I'm with you, AJ. If the brand Hockey Canada survives, it's got to look top to bottom different on the inside.
I honestly... If you were going to work for a reworked version of Hockey Canada, I would want it to be something different. Mm-hmm. Because we're always going to remember Hockey Canada as the organization that did this, was involved in this, was at the head of this, all the stuff that's come out over the last few months, you're saying you haven't heard much about it, but it's like, it's only gotten worse. Every time that something else comes out, you're just like, dude, this hole gets deeper.
Well, and I guess that's what I meant. Like, I've only heard it getting worse. Like, it felt like the positive discourse around it, where people were really pushing for the change and all that stuff. Like, they went out and handed out the medals at the Women's World Championships. And, like, that, to me, like, it almost kind of felt like they were like, yep, see, we're not doing anything about it. And then we stopped hearing anything about trying to make this improve, there being major changes or whatever. So that's like, it's good to see this, you know, really coming to a head today that, hey, there's big money sponsors that are saying, we're not going to let you guys do this. And in a situation like this, I am not a cancel everybody kind of person, but in a situation like this, that's absolutely this what needs to happen. And it's good to see their biggest sponsors and biggest, you know, donators holding them accountable and saying, you guys need to fix this.
Megan, you led our other show on this. Thoughts?
You know, it's overdue because people advocated for change in executive membership and board members from the beginning. And not only did they say that they wouldn't be doing that, they were going to resolve this from within, but in the hearings that have happened recently, the commentary from Hockey Canada has said things that have been harmful to the system that they're trying to improve. You know, comments that have pulled the focus away and have said that we live in a society, you know, this is a greater societal problem. We can't just focus on hockey. And it's such a disservice to the conversation that needs to be happening. I think sponsors are reacting to some of those comments that have come out from Skinner recently in hearings. And it's just a bit overdue. You know, had they tried to handle this more tactfully from within, I think I'd have a slightly different response, but I just see no other choice but to dismantle it and rebuild anew. I think there's going to be some pain and a sting to youth hockey at first, especially for Hockey Canada specifically, but it won't completely die out. It'll just be reborn and look different, and it needs to.
Yep. The last straw always seems to be, we did an internal investigation on ourselves and found nothing wrong.
Right. You know what? We handled everything great.
Yeah.
Just trust.
not good.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I was scrolling through and I saw that list of sponsors that have been officially hard ended their relationship or if it suspended it. And I just thought that was something that was worth. Worth mentioning.
Definitely was. Actual NHL news. Jason Robertson did sign yesterday for $7.775, I think, $1 million for 4 years with the Dallas Stars. First of all, before we get into how this affects the Avs or anyone else, what'd y'all think of that contract?
I don't get it. I don't understand how Jason Robertson got taken to the cleaners that badly.
I thought for sure he'd get at least 8.
I mean, Tim Stützle and Josh Norris, Nick Suzuki, these are all good hockey players. Jason Robertson has vastly outperformed all of them. And those are all deals where the teams signed 8-year deals and said, these guys are not going to be worth $8 million in year one. Probably not in year one. But by the time we get to years 3, 4, 5, 6... We are we are very comfortable with the players there that we expect them to be at that price point, especially as the cap, you know, as it will go up and that landscape will change. We're comfortable with those guys at that price point. The Stars on day one, the second that deal was signed, the Stars are getting maybe up to $2 million of a discount on Jason Robertson.
Yep.
Given his production, given his importance to that team. I mean, that guy's a 40-goal scorer.
Yep.
125 points in 128 games in his career.
This was
point per game guy.
This is a guy that you're talking about. Like, he's the engine of that whole team. That whole team's offense needs Jason Robertson to go. If you look at the impact that Jason Robertson has when he's on the ice and how good the Stars are when he's on the ice versus when he's off the ice, he's the only reason that this is a team that anybody is afraid of. It's not the only reason that they're a playoff contender or anything, but like the only reason offensively that this is a team that anybody has any kind of fear of, like Jason Robertson makes it all work. Rupe Hintz is fine. Joe Pavelski's obviously a very good hockey player, but Jason Robertson ties it all together. He drives the shit out of that bus. Like he got rocked in this. I don't understand how Jason Robertson's side thought that this was a good deal. Like, I just don't get where Robertson feels comfortable taking this kind of a contract. And for 4 years, had it been 7.75 for 2 years, you could be like, okay, I get it. Because he's going to go out, he's going to have another couple of 40-goal seasons, he's going to push 100 points again, you know? And in 2 years, when the cap starts to go up, he's going to get $12 million. I completely would have understood that. But 4 years... that's going to put him in that really awkward range where he is underpaid for the heart of his prime, and then he's going to get to age 27. He's still going to be an RFA, which is shocking. He's still going to be an RFA at the end of this. What the hell was his side thinking?
Well, and like, you know, we were talking about it last night, you know, in the media room, because it happened right after the game. And like, on one hand, you sit there and you're like, okay, well, Dallas didn't really have any more money than that. So, okay, cool. Maybe if you can't get anything more on the AAV, one, he should have maxed that. Like, the fact that it didn't hit eight. And then, AJ, I'm fully with you. I thought because of the kind of cap constraint they were in, we were looking at 2 years. 2 years with whatever amount of money they had left. This is now a huge bet on himself, because to your point, he's going to play through the heart of his prime on this deal. He's really still not going to have a ton of leverage when this deal comes to an end. And you just have to hope that his production, that he continues to be this type of player to be able to cash in now in 4 years. Like, he seriously could have just left a lot of money on the table for his career earnings. Yeah, I'm with you, AJ. There's, even with the limited money availability, I'm just surprised that his side went for this deal with the way that it ended up being constructed.
Yeah,
it could be the difference. Like, you could be talking, and you're totally right in that the Stars just didn't have the money to give him the 8-year deal right now.
Right.
Where he gets $10 million, which is what he should be earning right now. But for him to accept 4 years,
yeah,
I just,
the 4 years, that's super weird.
I saw the 7.75 and I was like, that's a 1 or 2 year deal. And then 4 years, that shocked me. This is day one highway robbery,
yeah,
by the Stars. This is exactly the kind of thing that they needed in order to balance out the value they lose on both Ben and Sagan.
Yep.
Because that brings them back into a lot more of it helps because Tyler, I think Tyler Sagan's going to have a year, but Jamie Benn, I think, is at this point. I mean, you know, he's a 30 or 40 point guy getting more than double what he should be at this point. And that might be generous. I'm just,
So
I'm just blown away, man.
The more I'm sitting here as we're talking about this, why would you sign a 4-year? Like what's the situation where his camp says, we want 4 years. Like, I'm trying to think from their side. Like, this isn't like this was their only option.
And what's even, for me, what's even worse is that because he's an RFA when this expires, his qualifying offer is the salary of the last year. It's only 9.3.
Yeah.
9.3, if he continues to play the way that he has played and produce at that level, 9.3 will still be a steal.
Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, I thought this deal was going to be closer to 9 than certainly than it is to 7. So to your point, AJ, like, cool, his qualifying offer in 4 years will be in the ballpark of what he probably would have been worth this year had Dallas had a little bit more cap flexibility.
Well, and maybe there's a world where Dallas can afford that next deal on the next one. But realistically, you're going to go through something similar to what he did this year at the end of this contract. You're going to have another tough negotiating period with who knows how the outcome ends there. He will at least have arbitration rights that time, but does he really want to take a 1-year deal at that point in his career?
Yeah. I mean, it sets up for a really weird, I just think Jesse said it right. He just left millions of dollars on the table. I think that's where this comes down to. He just did. And if it had been a 2-year deal at 7.75, you're saying maybe he left maybe like 2 or 3 million, maybe $2 to $4 million.
And then he gets
the
to sign a huge deal on an increased cap. It's fine.
Exactly. Man. And you're like, oh, hey, he actually played this pretty well. And it ended up being okay. Like, he got what he could in that one deal and then moved on. But this is, I mean, this the 4-year deal, you're talking about him providing surplus value every day of that contract. He just, I don't know. He left a lot of money out there.
It feels like it works against him in every way. Not only is it under market value in AAV and falls under 8, but the expiry status being RFA grants him little recourse at the end of it. And opting for 4 instead of signing something shorter term like 2 years locks him into this for quite a long time that I can't imagine that it's anything but something team friendly related or a handshake agreement kind of thing. He had other options, I'm sure, in these discussions, especially with his agent, depending on how the negotiations played out, to at the very least ask for 8 or for 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the combination of them, because that's usually how this goes. You either get a shorter term to lower the AAV, or you raise the AAV a little bit. You get, you know, you overpay for the first few years. You get a deal on the back end, and you get a long-term deal. Like, it's how this stuff works. Like, there's trade-offs here. It's just how naturally the contracts work themselves out is that everybody gets a little bit of a trade-off. On both cases here, the Stars win.
Yep.
The Stars are like, great! We love this!
Yep. There are no trade-offs, though, when it comes to taking care of your teeth. The trade-off is terrible awfulness. Trust me. go to Green Mountain Dental Group. Make sure you're taking care of your teeth. You can get a free Sonicare toothbrush when you get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam from them. So they can help you take care of your teeth at home and make it a win-win. They're also great at what they do. Just 15 minutes from downtown over in Lakewood, the best family dentist in the Denver metro area. So check out Green Mountain Dental. And then check out Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get it down at the bar right now. A bunch of different types of Breck brew. They keep coming out with new ones. It's getting like impossible for me to keep track. There's so many. I guarantee you they have a flavor that you like. You can check them out at breckbrew.com to find them at a local liquor store near you. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So, as we drift this conversation into the Avs, they have some similar RFA contracts to sign coming up at the end of the season. Now, let's start with this. Do you think this Robertson deal will set the market, or do you think this is going to end up being an outlier?
Well, I think that every single agent of a young player was absolutely like loving.
They'd be sad about this.
Well, was loving where things were going. Josh Norris and Tim Stewart, like guys with like 50, 60 point seasons, were getting $8 million on 8-year deals. Like they were like, yeah, this is great. Like we're gonna okay, great. And now this Robertson thing, I think, has screwed it up a little bit. Because agents can really dig in, or teams can really dig in and just be like, look, Jason Robertson's better than all those guys. Mm-hmm. Like all those guys. So I think ultimately it probably ends up as an outlier, but it's going to be – teams are absolutely going to hold this up as like a gold standard and be like, ha, 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 ha. Like, no, we're not going to give him that. You know, because, and really we're parlaying this into an Alex Newhook conversation. Alex Newhook's going to be the 2C this year. He's a blah, 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 blah. Right. And we're saying, hey, we would love a 60 point season out of him. If he gets a 60 point season, like Jason Robertson and where we have talked in the past is Colorado's probably not going to be able to afford to give him that big deal, that 8-year deal, that 7-year deal, whatever. They're probably not going to be able to afford that kind of security with Alex Newhook. They're probably going to have to go the bridge route, the 2-3-4-year deal. And given the fact that Jason Robertson had the production that he had, if you're the Avs next year, the cap goes up $1 million and you're in the situation that they're in, you're looking at a 4-year deal if I'm Colorado. And if he has a 60-point season, you're probably saying, you know, $5 to $6 million.
His agent's Pat Brisson.
And which tells you Jason Robertson was comfortable with this. Like, Jason Robertson obviously wouldn't have signed without it, but there's no way Pat Brisson thought this was a good deal. I'd be willing to bet Jason Robertson was like, this is where we are. Let's just go. I just want to go play hockey. But yeah. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. State income tax and all that stuff, to me, that just means he left that much more money on the table.
Yep.
So, but anyway, moving back to our conversation with Newhook.
Well, go ahead.
Like this is where, like, they are not comparable players. Jason Robertson has proven he's a monster, but Alex Newhook was putting himself into the Nick Suzuki, Josh Norris, Tim Stützle kind of range, if he has the kind of year that we think he can in that 50 to 60 point range. You know, obviously if he's closer to 60, you'd be happier with that. But this deal being that kind of bridge, being that kind of, being that it's just so cheap. It's really just not. I think it really just sets up for, it sets up for the Avs to be in a comfortable position to try and keep that number lower. A lot lower, like now, because now you're like, look, you don't want to pay Alex Newhook and Jason Robertson's range. They're not comparable players, so that should keep Newhook's number lower, which is why I'm saying. Going into, you know, 2 days ago, I would have said Newhook is probably, if you wanted a bridge deal, you were probably looking at $6 or $7 million. Jason Robertson signing at 7.75 for 4 years makes it feel like it really is in that 5 to 6 range now.
Impossible to give Newhook 7 after that. Yeah,
it does feel like if you're giving him 7, he's got to be giving you a minimum of 5 years.
I think, too, as far as is this an outlier, I think it absolutely will prove to be an outlier contract for Robertson, at least, just because of this unique position that Dallas is in with the restraint against the flat cap this year and trying to remain compliant in the space that they had. I think the Avs have managed that a little bit differently, and it's also going to go up $1 million. So I think it's going to be hard to recreate. You know, I think we're all realistically having a hard time recreating exactly the steal that Dallas did with Robertson's contract. But I think the point that they're very different players too is important to note. Newhook's 21, so the year that he has this year is going to shape a lot of this conversation beyond what we could comprehend right now.
Definitely still way up in the air. If Newhook has a 30-point season, struggles in the 2C role, he's going to get a bridge deal worth like $3 million. It could.
Yeah.
This article from The Athletic, Saad Youssef, it's just kind of detailing. It's an interview with Pat Brisson, Jim Nill. What I am taking from this is that Jason Robertson had no leverage. He made it clear early in the negotiations that he really, really wanted to get this done. He just wanted to be back skating. And I think the Stars just kind of were like, cool. We know you want to be here. We know you have no other options. And they straight up, it says in this article, they told him, we are not moving anybody to create more cap space for you. So the money we have is the money we have for this deal. I just can't get past the 4-year part.
Yeah. Their top bona fide top six players do not sign 4-year deals. You either sign 5-6 plus or you sign 1 or 2. No one in the top six signs these weird 4-year deals.
Yeah. That's a JT Compher deal.
Exactly.
Like that's a middle six. You know, a middle six guy kind of contract. I don't know. To me, this it just blew me away, but I think it should, in theory, help the Avs just a little bit with Newhook next season, which will be important.
Yeah.
You know.
We're
talking about Alex Newhook signing a long-term deal and whatever money he's going to get. Like, Alex Newhook's got a lot of points to score to get there.
Yeah, there's still plenty of work to do on Newhook's side, no doubt about that. But
I'm curious, do you guys have more confidence in Bowen Byram or Alex Newhook getting, say, a long-term deal next summer?
Be more specific, like the Avs actually giving them a long-term deal?
Yeah.
I'd say
Byram.
My concern is injury with Byram.
But
the play, I think, has the upside that the Avs would want to offer Byram the long term. Like, that's still my answer, too.
The thing with Byram is, like, it's super duper easy to see. Well, Taze only has 2 years left on his deal, and you just kind of slowly roll Byram into that spot, and then he's the guy for the next 7 years or whatever it ends up being.
Is that the ultimate conspiracy theory that the Avs put Byram in Taves' place to try and keep Taves' next contract number down?
Yeah. Make Taves play on the second line, get less take minutes.
Take him second pairing, take him off the power play, yeah. Keep the points down as much as you can. Try and get that contract in the $7 million range as much as possible.
The problem there, which, you know, it's the same as Newhook, if Byram goes out and has like a 25-30-point season, he's not incentivized to sign a long-term deal, right? There's an easy scenario where he signs a bridge, plays better, gets a significantly bigger dollar amount.
I mean, I feel like if they're serious about trying to keep Byram, Newhook, Taves, Rantanen, they want all those guys for the foreseeable future and into multiple contracts here. It feels like Byram and Newhook have to be bridge deals. Like, they just can't afford to pay that extra couple of million for the long-term deal.
I just accepted that Taves is going already, but...
Yeah, I mean, and then you try and find the Girard conversation where you're like, look, is Girard's $5 million, like, enough to keep all those guys together with whatever return you're going to get from him?
Is that you, Paul Bissonnette?
Or... Yeah, he just listens to our pod, dude. We've talked about this a bunch over the summer, but yep. I actually sat down and like was trying to do the math here.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that if you trade Girard for nothing, I mean like just pure futures picks only, futures yeah. And like guys that are not on the team, I don't know that the $5 million is quite enough to get
it probably covers one of them.
Yeah, it's like it's like if you wanted to give all, if you wanted to give Taves and his next deal, Rantanen in his next deal, and Byram and Newhook long term deals, then Gerard's $5 million absolutely doesn't even come close.
Yeah,
to covering it, and you're almost guaranteed to lose the Gerard deal simply because you're trying to free up that money.
So I want to touch back on the contract thing, because this comment that just came through, I'm going to put it up here. Someone mentioned it last night, and really it's now that it's been confirmed the cap is going up, it'll be less surprising to see more of these younger guys do these bridge deals. And again, that's what someone was saying last night, like, oh, well, you know, they'll get more money in the future. The reason we've seen guys go away from this type of structure in the last few years is because, like, that's a big bet on yourself. And the players like the longer term deals because it's a security. I'm paid this for the next however long. I know I've got this contract. Yeah, you may see people start doing that, but I think you'll see what was happening to guys like crazy a few years ago, regardless where the cap is. Yeah, you peak, you have a chance to make some money. You take the shorter term deal saying, ooh, I'm really going to cash in a few years with this cap going up. And then your performance either plateaus, it dips, you get injured, you know, things just don't go your way. And suddenly you look up and, you know, you're signing a PTO just to try to stay in the league. And you had an 8-year deal on the table. And now, again, I'm not saying that was Jason Robertson's situation, but I don't think you're going to keep seeing this happening. And honestly, you know, with him doing this as a 4-year deal, it's a huge risk for him. That's why I think with Newhook or Byram, and just to reiterate what we've already said, I think you're looking either 6 to 7 years or you're looking 2 years.
Yep. And just,
these bridge deals, there's too much risk.
It's more about fringe players, but how many times on this show have we talked about how important security is to some of these guys with their contracts? And this generation of hockey players, more than anyone, is aware of extraneous factors. The salary cap's gone up $1 million over the last 3 years because of something entirely out of control of everybody.
Yeah.
So even the promises of, hey, the salary cap's going up, don't worry about it, are not a sure thing.
Right. Yeah, we hit another 2-month COVID pause this fall or some shit.
Yep.
And see ya to that going up.
Yeah, I think this comment is actually backwards, talking about the CBA, saying that guys who are RFAs closer to the expiration of the CBA are more inclined to sign shorter deals so they don't extend beyond into a CBA they don't know. I think it's actually backwards. I think guys want to have deals that cover that year so that they know that they have
security there.
Yeah, some kind of a job that year. They want to, that especially I think you'll see signing bonuses for that year, so that July 1st that year those guys get paid that money, and if they don't have a paycheck that year, they at least got X million dollars on whatever date, you know, on July 1st of that year. So
funnily enough, kind of the one concession in the MacKinnon contract was the lack of a signing bonus that year.
Yeah, it was a smaller one.
Yeah.
It was, because there still is one, but instead of it being like $10 million, $3 million or whatever, it's like $3 million. That's the only year where the majority of his salary is actually salary.
Yeah.
This comment asking, will Compher be the victim in all this? You guys need to accept that JT Compher is probably gone no matter what.
It's going to be real tough for the Habs to bring him back at the end.
Yeah, probably his election. He'll get way more somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, if he has the kind of year that he has had in his entire career, let's put him at 17 goals and 34 points. Okay. Just right down the middle, right in the area of what he has been in his career, a 17-34 kind of season, his versatility and all that. There will be a team out there, you know, there will be an Ottawa type. That's like, we really want to take this jump. We really want to, you know, Detroit would be another really good example of a team that just really needs, where they've got their top guys. They're like, we love our top guys. We could score points with our top six. We're good there. We really need to strengthen that middle of the lineup which has been full of not really anybody good the last couple of years. And somebody will give that guy
$4.5 million. Every third line, borderline middle six player becomes a journeyman in this league. Okay. There's a reason for it because someone's always willing to give them that opportunity. Someone's always willing to give them that extra 500K, whatever it is. Megan, I did want to get your thoughts on the situation here on the Avs. I'll leave it open to you where you want to go with it.
Like with respect to contracts?
Just the future contracts in general. Where you think they're going with, whether it be Newhook and Byram short-term, long-term. Is Taves gone? Is Gerard gone? Where do you think it's headed?
I see bridge deals for both in the foreseeable future for Byram and Newhook, just with respect to the cap. And honestly, depending on the seasons that they each have too, individually, they might see the benefit in doing something like that. We talked about long-term contracts on the pod the other day too, and I think the organization would be inclined to want to offer a long-term contract, but I think the players would be inclined to do something that's a little bit shorter in terms of term. So maybe there's some in between and maybe they love it here and we do see a longer term contract happen. But I think too, just like the future of people like Taves, Compher is definitely a little bit up in the air and it's going to be dependent on the future too. Like some people mentioned Olausen in the comments and I think that's going to be an interesting thing to also pay attention to the year that he has with the Eagles. It's premature. I want to really tamper expectation that Olausen belongs in this conversation in the next 1 to 2 years. I'm looking a little bit 2 to 3, but even still, it's kind of interesting to consider all of those things.
If you lose really JT Compher,
yeah, exactly.
You have to replace him. You have to replace JT Compher with somebody. And you don't get anywhere if
you sign another JT Compher for $3.5 million
on a guy. Yep. You don't really move. You don't move forward. You've just changed his nameplate at that spot. So, and another guy that's part of it, Ben Myers, his ELC expires this year. If Ben Myers has a 30-point year, you know, again, like we're talking a short contract here, 1 or 2 years, but it won't be $1 million. Like they've got Ben Myers on a mill this year. If Ben Myers has the kind of year that we think he's capable of, he will not cost $1 million next year. And it's like, okay, you're going to lose JT Compher. You need to replace him with somebody. You'd love for that to be Sampo Ranta or Oscar Olsson or, you know, one of these. Just pick a prospect. Like, honestly, I don't want to go through the whole list.
Pick your favorite.
Pick whichever prospect is finally going to go up and get that job. But, like, you have to fill those roles. And the reason we hammer away at giving the young guys stuff here is because those guys are cheap. Those guys are on ELCs. Those guys are on $1 million deals. They're on 800K deals. Like, those guys are cheap. And when you venture into free agency, you know, look at Darren Helm and Andrew Cogliano. 1.25 for those guys.
Right.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot of money, but you're combined probably getting 30 points out of those two guys this year.
Well, and for when all of a sudden million. You're paying 3-4 dudes a little bit too much.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, I made the argument, and people are still mad about it, but whatever, that each guy got 250K more than they really should have.
Yep.
And that's like a free agency bump, right? Like, that's just part of free agency, is that sometimes you do give that little bit of extra. If you get some RFAs, if you get some guys, if you get some of these guys that actually step up and take some of these jobs, you do get efficient surplus value out of it. They're very likely not going to get surplus value out of Helm and Cogliano deals this year. Like when you consider regular season and all things considered, they're probably not. If they do, excellent. But if they don't, you know, and they're not, I don't think they're likely to. Okay, you're losing value there on bottom barrel contracts. They have to get a little bit. They have to get that surplus value somewhere, because that's how you stay competitive, is that you have guys who outperform their deals. Your elite guys are great. You expect those guys to be at the tip top. You know, now you now have the highest paid player in the NHL starting next season. You know, you're going to get surplus value out of a guy like Makar, out of Taves. You're hoping Gerard, blah, 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 blah. But going back to where this conversation started with Newhook, and they're very likely going to get surplus value out of Alex Newhook this year. But on his next deal next year, it gets harder because these guys want to get paid what they're worth. It gets harder. And so you need the young guys to really step up and actually step into roles while they are cheap, because now the Avs are that top heavy team. They're that team with a bunch of guys. You know, they have, starting next year, they'll have a guy making $12 million and they'll have two guys making $9 million. So they're going to have to get value somewhere on their roster.
Megan, you looked like you wanted to add something there.
You know, I wanted to add, I feel like to the answers for some of these questions, I think the D core is locked up and they'll have to answer these questions a little bit later in the future than the forward group and Sean Behrens. I just think that I don't know what his ceiling is and I don't want to cap it anywhere. So I'm not projecting him to be like a top pairing in the NHL defenseman, but there's a lot of runway there for Sean Behrens to be an important part in the Avs' future D core. And I just wanted to reintroduce because I'm going to the game tomorrow and they're doing the banner raising ceremony for the national champions.
There you go.
I mean, Sean Behrens should really sign after this year. He should really sign after a sophomore season.
The red carpet is rolled out on that Eagles defense for him, basically.
Well, and maybe not even that, but Eric Johnson's contract expires. And
yeah, it's possible.
If EJ decides to call it quits after this year, you know, whatever happens with Eric Johnson, he's not getting like a long-term deal or any of that again in Colorado. I think the easy thing is you look at the contracts over the next few years, Sean Behrens replacing Eric Johnson is the obvious one for one there, with maybe Behrens ending up being the replacement for Taves in 2 years if they do want to give him a full year in the AHL first, which it's kind of been, they've done both, right? Like they gave the full year to Justin Barron, and Barron would have been a guy that would have pushed for the roster this year. Hallison would have been a guy that would have pushed for the roster this year had they not been involved in deadline deals. So it'll be interesting to see where Sean Behrens fits into that. Just don't treat him at the deadline. Keep Sean Behrens. Yes, he is left-handed.
Speaking of...
say anything about a trade. Sorry. Also, I think he's all but confirmed he's only staying on for the sophomore season, so I think we can expect to see him sign at the end of the year.
Barring like a nightmare hellscape of a season or something like what Matt Steinberg went through where he just got hurt at the start of it, it would not make a ton of sense for Behrens to return for his junior year.
Speaking of former DU defensemen, Will Butcher was in the press box last night. A healthy scratch for the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
That insanely unsustainable rookie year turns out was totally unsustainable. No way.
Yeah, like everybody, anybody that knew anything understood that he was not going to continue to score a power play point every single game.
right, and that
was where he was at the start of his career, like the first like 30 or 40 games or whatever. He was scoring all the time. He was just rolling in secondary assists and power play points. And you're like, this is white noise. This is exactly what the numbers nerds call white noise. Like this, these are the things that they say are unsustainable, and he either has to convert those into primary points or you expect a major drop. And in Will Butcher's case, unfortunately, it was a major drop.
Yep. Okay, wrapping up the show here.
First year.
any final thoughts, contracts, Avs, otherwise?
Good.
Nope.
I'm honestly, like, as much as I like the business side of stuff, I'm so excited to get to games.
Oh, tell me about
it. So we can stop talking about contracts and stop getting into some of this and like move forward. And we have hockey games to talk about.
It was a real blow to us today or last night when it's like, yeah, the Avs aren't going to practice Thursday or Friday, nor are they going to cut anyone. It's like, okay, so we got two more shows to figure out.
Yep.
But
in the meantime,
I'm just kidding.
What was that?
An Eagle scrimmage show, but I'm kidding. Oh, we're not kidding.
Honestly, I'm down.
I mean, if we had video of it,
I'll just live stream.
Yeah, exactly. Just hop on. I guess Periscope doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's just Twitter Live now.
Yeah. Hop on Twitter Live and. I would watch it. I mean, what am I doing on Saturday?
Megan's cameraman skills to the test.
Cameraman yeah, skills, they're I guess. Not going.
Okay. Anyway, on that note, we also did just come out with our Pacific Division preview today. You can go check that one out. Pretty interesting one. I think the top most of us were comfortable with, but that third spot and down. Could be all over the place in the
Pacific. I think LA was the team that had the greatest amount of variance, mm-hmm. maybe across all of our divisions.
Yeah.
So you can go check that out on YouTube. Be sure to like this video and subscribe. That helps us out a ton. Our Central Division preview drops tomorrow. And then after that, we're getting into a bunch of Avs specific player previews. So be sure to keep it tuned in.
Sort of player previews.
It's more like groupings of players for sure, but still. Those are coming your way on YouTube. So lots of video content headed at you up to the start of the season for the Avs. For today, we're going to get out of here. We appreciate all of y'all a ton. And until the next one, we will talk to you later.